Maybe you've embezzled funds, had an affair, abandoned your family, or even gotten away with committing a serious felony. Even though you've not been caught by the law, you have been caught by your own guilt. Life is closing in on you. No peace, no happiness, no future hope. Today, the key to freedom from guilt and forgiveness from the God who is able to bestow it as a gift. Stay with us. From Chicago's Moody Church, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer is in Zechariah chapter 3, continuing his series on what happens after you've blown it. He's telling us about covering the guilt you can't wish away with the robes of righteousness only Jesus can provide.
I want you to know today that a Christian is not a sinner minus his sins. That's only half the story. A Christian is a sinner clothed in the righteousness of Christ, standing in rich garments, it says here. The idea actually is festal robes, beautiful garments, holy garments, acceptable garments to the angel of the Lord, garments that are completely acceptable to God. The Jesus who would die on the cross centuries later would purchase for Joshua these garments. You say, well, how could this be already in Old Testament times? Well, the Old Testament saints were saved on credit. You know what it's like to buy something on credit. Some of you who know something about what it's like to buy an item of furniture on credit, you wish you never heard of the practice. But that's the way it was. Because Jesus was looking through the corridors of time and knowing that he would die, he says, I'm redeeming people already based on the payment that I will make. And so, Joshua, come here. I clothe you in pure garments so that you can stand before me without embarrassment, without any sense of humiliation, and without wanting to run away. The garments that I have given you. Not just your old garments made clean, but brand new ones. And now the issue wasn't really the how dirty Joshua's garments are, because I'm sure that there were people in his day whose garments would have been dirtier than his, but that was not really the issue. The issue is the beauty and the wonder and the completeness of the garments that he received as a gift from the angel of the Lord, from Jesus himself. Now there's a third participant in this vision, and that of course is Satan, the adversary. Let me reread part of verse 1. Then he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord and Satan standing at his right hand to accuse him. Follow carefully. What is supposed to be portrayed as reconciliation between a sinner and God, Satan now interjects something else and he tries to divide God and the sinner through his accusations. And so he's standing there at his right hand to accuse. We have to pause here. Let's not hurry over this. Who is it that's making the accusations? The accusations, are they being made by someone who himself is very pure and therefore has a right to talk? Not quite. We're talking about someone who is the embodiment of evil. Someone who loves evil. If Joshua is filthy, Satan is filthier still. If Joshua is unclean, Satan is more unclean. He is the essence of uncleanness. There is no righteousness in him at all. And he's the one who's making the accusations. It's not just that he's unclean. But also, he's the one who instigates sin. He's the one who leads us into temptation. And after we have been led into temptation and we have sinned, he's the one there to accuse us and to tell us what big sinners we are and why we should run from God rather than toward him. He's there doing that. He's like a firebug that is also a firefighter. So he's constantly being sent to his own fires that he begins. And when he's there, he's there to accuse. Look at that, you sinner. What is he saying? Well, from other passages of the Bible, we can put it together. So far as to us, he is speaking, and he speaks through feelings and not just words. Remember that. He speaks through feelings and not just words, and he says this to us. So you're a believer. Look at what you've done. Don't you see how filthy you really are? If you really understood the full import of how filthy you were, you would know that there's no way for God to really forgive you, and you say that you have garments of righteousness, but just look at your heart. Do you remember what you did in the past? And if you don't remember, I'll help you to remember, because you have to be locked into your sin. Don't you ever think your conscience can be free. When your conscience tells you to pay up, there is no way for you to do it. Run from God because he's mad at you. That's what he's saying to us. To God, he has a different story. To God, he comes and says, now wait a moment, look at this sinner. If you allow him into heaven, if you allow him to have fellowship with you, you're going to disgrace your name. Your name is going to be disgraced. Because, you know, you say that you are holy. You say that your courts are holy. And here, you would have fellowship with people who are going to defile your courts. What kind of a God is that to associate with sinners? And to have friends among those who have sinned just as greatly as I have, the devil says. Well, praise God. The Bible says in verse 2, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem. Joshua is a brand plucked from the burning, but so are all of us. And you be quiet. Because my reputation is not going to be impugned. And the reason it's not going to be impugned is because I am giving these filthy people garments of righteousness by which they can approach me with complete holiness and have an entry point into my presence, because I have clothed them with that which I accept, namely garments that have been woven by my precious Son. Be quiet, devil. What I'd like to do now is to give you four life-transforming lessons. If we could learn these lessons, we could walk out of here free. And if not today, at least we could seek God this afternoon and be free by tonight. That's how important these are. Are you ready for the lessons? I am. Number one, we must distinguish between the conviction of the Spirit and the accusations of the devil. We have to learn how to do that, because if you don't, what if Joshua had stood there and what if the angel had not been there to rebuke him? And Joshua would have taken all the things that the devil said to him as being true and honest and completely right. And there he is being lacerated by the evil one. And he'd have had to endure all that and slink away in shame and in disgrace. Because, you see, there's a part of what the devil says that is right. We are sinners. We are filthy sinners, if I might use the word and not offend your sensibilities, though appeal to your honesty. We are sinners. So that part is right, but what the devil leaves out is the wonder of God's grace. The issue is not whether or not we're as bad as the devil says we are. The issue is whether or not God is going to treat us as though we are that bad, or that God will treat us as a result of what Jesus did as having a righteous standing before him. That's really the issue. Now here's what happens. Here's a Christian who commits a sin and then he confesses it and feels guilty later. And he says, you know what? I don't think I was sincere. If I were really sincere, I wouldn't have these memories and these feelings. So the devil is capitalizing on that. So he says, the Christian says to himself, this time I'm going to really confess my sin. I mean, this time I am serious. And so he confesses the same sin. Moments later, he still feels guilty. Or maybe a day later. And he said, well, you know, I wasn't really sincere. The next time I'm really, really, really really going to mean it. So he goes through the same ritual. And after he really, 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 really means it, and the next day begins to have memories and feelings, he says to himself, well, you know, God's abandoned me. And he doesn't know that he's been listening to the devil, not the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit of God points out sin in our life that we might confess it. When we receive Christ as Savior, we receive the righteous garments that we've been talking about. And legally, we are clothed in the righteousness of Christ. But you and I know that as we go through this life, we still get dirty and we still have to confess our sins. But the Bible says that if we confess them, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from each individual unrighteousness. But the devil says, that doesn't apply to you, thank you. And so, as the Spirit convicts us and we have repented and confessed, it is then taken up by the devil, who points out forgiven sin and begins to harass us over things that God has already put away. And if you don't know the difference, you can be in that quagmire of guilt. We sometimes call it a bad self-image, that low-grade sense of self-hatred and disdain, and you'll never get out of it because you're listening to the wrong voice. What we need to be able to do is to say, "Be gone, devil. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, that is even now on the right hand of the throne of God, who also maketh intercession for us." And my dear friend, please, please don't attack the devil this way. "Devil, I'm not as bad as you're saying I am. In fact, I can think of church members who've done a lot worse than I am. I'm not that bad." Don't ever do that. Number one, you probably are that bad. That'd be one good reason why that doesn't work. But the second reason is he has you for lunch. He has you for lunch. And he'll take you for dinner and breakfast the next day. And so it is. Satan wants to have us for lunch. What he wants to do is to so accuse us and so defeat us that we'll never stand on the promises that God has made for us. I never tire of telling people that one of the ways that we can tell the difference between the accusations of Satan and the work of the Holy Spirit in convicting us is that Satan enjoys accusing us for sins that have already been cleansed and forgiven and that are under the blood of Christ. And he does this by stirring up our memories, by somehow instigating within us this notion that we have to deal with sins that God says are already cast into the depths of the sea. And if you ask me, well, how do we stand against him? We have to take a page out of the book that Jesus left for us by his own witness. And that is when he said, "Be gone, Satan, for it is written." My friend, today, you and I have enough promises to stand against the devil. We cannot allow him to continually throw into our faces sins that God says have been thrown into the depths of the sea. I encourage you today to stand against him based on the work of Jesus Christ on our behalf. We are, after all, on the winning side.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. Erwin Lutzer has been talking with us about part 3 of The Guilt You Can't Wish Away, the second of 6 messages on After You've Blown It, Reconnecting with God and Others. Tomorrow, join us again as Pastor Lutzer concludes this look at God's answer for man's guilt. Running to Win comes to you from Chicago's Moody Church to help you understand God's roadmap for your race of life. This current series can be yours on CD, cassette, or MP3. Also, it's in print as a Multnomah Life Change book. For full information, call toll-free at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about the series After You've Blown It when you call. For information on other ministry resources, visit our website at runningtowin.org. And please don't forget, this broadcast is supported by listeners just like you. This is Dave McAllister. Make plans now to join us for tomorrow's edition of Running to Win.